Hi, I'm Dr. Troy Spurl, and our podcast is Synapse Snips. Our podcast teaches people about how the body is supposed to work, basically how we were innately made. Have you ever wondered why you get headaches? Ever wondered why you wake up and you just, your feet don't work in the morning and they're achy, and then as you get walking, it gets better? Have you ever wondered why you don't remember your dreams? Have you ever wondered why you're gaining weight even though you're eating right, you're exercising, and the weight keeps coming on? Have you ever wondered why you're just feeling depressed? That's hard to get up off the couch. If you ever wondered about why you feel these things and why you're not just feeling right, listen to our podcast to get the answers. We get to the root cause and we tell you why. Make sure you're listening to Synapse Snips each and every week where we answer the questions that you guys have. Also, you can find us at officialsynapse.com. That's official Synapse, SYNAPSE.com. Hello, welcome to Synapse Snips. I'm Dr. Troy, back again this month with a very special guest, Rochelle from way down south in, for us, way down south in Oklahoma. So welcome, Rochelle, to Synapse Snips, and I am so looking forward to this conversation today. It's a pleasure to have you.
Same to you. It's a great. We actually had snow yesterday, so we're not too terribly Midwest. Catching up a little bit with your terrain, but not to the extent that you guys always have through the winter spell. So
this winter's been a little bit low on the snow, but we're about to get into a real big cold snap here. I believe I heard -4 on the weekend here.
Oh boy, so. yeah,
that's
shoot us.
No.
But yeah, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
So what I'd like to do first is just have you speak a little bit about who you are and what you do. And we're going to be talking about three main areas today. We're going to be talking hormones. We're going to be talking long-haul COVID. We're going to be talking vaccine injury. I want people to know that I've been working with a lot of good medical professionals from across the country, and I was seeking Rochelle doesn't know this as far as what I was seeking, but I was seeking Rochelle. I was seeking someone with her knowledge base and just her, someone was a fit as well. So people who know Synapse know that one of our core values is excellence without ego. And Rochelle just hits that out of the park. And so we are very, very fortunate to be able to collaborate with Rochelle and people like Rochelle. But I'd like you to just tell us a little bit about who you are so our listeners can understand that a little bit. And then some of the patients I'm going to be flooding you with, I'd like you to talk a little bit. We'll start maybe with any one of those three topics. But tell us a little bit about who you are.
Well, thank you. Yeah. So my background and my pedigree, I'm a physician assistant. My large experience was in the hospital world. So for about eight and a half years, I was doing floor work. So anything from a heart attack to cancer to pneumonia or, you know, dirty wounds. That was kind of my bread and butter day in and day out. I had 1 year of oncology mixed into that space as well. And then when COVID rolled around, so I was probably around 5-6 years of experience, I was stationed at what's called an LTAC. It's a long-term acute care facility where patients that need 25 days or more of inpatient ICU type services are moved to kind of unburden the load in the general hospital so we can take care of acute emergencies there and then make people better long-term in our LTACs. And so during that COVID phase, I was in the LTAC setting. And so who my bread and butter of patients were people who had been vented and intubated post-COVID. And so for about 3 years, that's where I worked predominantly in that space. And it was where I would say the story began to unfold is because as everybody knows the walk through the COVID crisis together. You know, we all learn new things. It put an evolutionary, I think, pressure on practitioners to become the scientists again of our own health and of our patients, to become advocates, to be curious investigators. And so when I was working through that space over those 3 years out of the 8 years that I work total in hospital world, I had a lot of examples that came up through patient cases that started to propagate in my mind questions that did not have answers, not only on the COVID front and what was COVID and how do we treat it and what's best practice, but then on the review and the audit of these quote vaccines that I really don't like to give them the credit to be a vaccine at this point. You know, especially when we're talking about Pfizer, Moderna, modified RNA technology, it's a genetic technology platform. I saw a lot of unreasonable conditions that were refractory to normal treatments for those previously known conditions, and then that behaved irrespective and out of character to patients' age ranges, their comorbidities, and their other health problems. And so there was a great swelling of evolution that happened over those last 3 years. And so at the end of those 8 years, it wasn't necessarily my plan, but it became the plan. I resigned and I joined with a physician in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to help people in this niche and in this space where answers really needed to be found. Solutions were being needed, creative strategies, and a mix of functional and internal medicine. So traditional medical model and then functional medicine, which is what I love that you guys do so well, really needed to collaborate together to solve problems that had been created out of this COVID era context and this mixed soup of, genetic mess that we kind of really put into the waters of our systems and our bodies that we need help mitigating or clearing out. And so now what I do is I do just that. I work a lot with patients who either have had just infection problems with COVID, still prolonged, or have had issues post-injection, specifically most predominantly with the modified RNA, so Pfizer, Moderna shots, a few Janssen shots. They did cause some neurotoxicity in the patients that I work with there. And then a little tier, we do hormonal rebalancing and wellness, because I have learned over the last year and a half what a foundation that is to sustaining and promoting longevity of health and being preventative against chronic disease. And so that's a little bit of my story in a nutshell, with some caveats throughout the end there.
Well, there's definitely a need right now. I cannot tell you how many people are struggling just in those three scenarios. And so we do a lot of programs here at Synapse where we onboard people, we get their foundational aspects of their health back as far as their sleep, their digestive system, get them out of fight or flight, reduce their inflammation. Mm-hmm. But we're running into chronicity issues with people with long-haul COVID. It's acting very, very similar to our Lyme patients with as far as how it affects their immune system and disrupts their natural tendencies. So let's start maybe with the long haul COVID and tell us a little bit about what you're seeing, how you've been managing it, and why I'm so excited to be collaborating with you.
Absolutely. You know, long haul COVID's interesting because I do think we did go through different phases of variants. Okay. That is known. That is pretty true. And so what I have seen personally is that the patients that are still struggling with COVID issues, they've not been injected. Okay, so no vaccine pathology in the mix, just the COVID infection or experience, or multiple COVID infections. But what I have seen is really that 2020, 2021 timeframe, that Delta variant, really seemed to put some people out. I have people that still 2 years out from that are having neurological issues predominantly, or low fatigue, or can't get up off the couch. For example, had a case, he's avid cycler, could do 40 miles a day on a bike, and now could only get up for 15 minutes to mow the lawn. And that's not his normal, right? And it's not an aging function, because mid-50s, you know, young 60s, you don't just all of a sudden not be able to get off the couch like that.
Yeah.
And so he had had multiple COVID hits, is what I like to call it. And, it was very difficult for him. He could not figure out, why do I not have sustained energy? Well, what we see in some people with just the long haul COVID are a few things. One, it can really affect your ovarian function or testicular health. And so if you have depleted stores of estrogen, progesterone, or testosterone, you are not going to feel like your normal baseline self. Two, people actually don't know this, but mono, the EBV virus, the kissing disease, it actually likes to come out into play when you are havoced with another invader. And it seems to be, there have been some studies done, especially in the ICU context, that showed that mono was just as in play at the time of COVID as was COVID. And so sometimes we need to put mono back to sleep for people that are struggling with fatigue or neurological unhealth. So in long haul COVID, I see very similar symptoms to the persons who have had also injection issues, but more predominantly do I see, brain fog, decreased energy, neurological issues like numbness and tingling of their hands or their feet, and cardiac issues too. I would say those are the two predominant ones, neurological and cardiac manifestations in long haul COVID symptoms. But they do speak and smoke a little bit the same between injection and infection, which is why the treatment pathways are a little bit different for me, because in one, I'm not fighting against a modified technology. Yes. One is just fighting against the sequela of a disease. But what we have found is that, you know, in one study, researchers showed that the S1 unit spike protein, when you look at it, S1 unit is the part that is pathogenic to you. It's the part that makes you feel cruddy and like you have the flu. The S2 unit is what the part that actually lets it bind into your system through its receptors in your bodies that you have. We found that the S1 unit was retained in white blood cells of persons who just had the infection for up to 15 months, and 15 months being the limiting factor, just because that's how long the study was performed. So in theory, it could be longer. Right. So I just kind of come to the table with people who are struggling. They say, I had COVID, but it was 2 years ago. And, you know, I don't know if that's really what's causing all of it or not, but something's different. And I am able to say by plausibility of there's, well, we have research that shows a year and a half, you know, out from your last infection, there's still retention of a subfragment of that spike protein. It could be causing issues. There could be something still kicked into play. There is a chronicity to it with some persons, and we don't know why some are affected more than others, but we do know that it does happen. So.
That's awesome information. And that's, we're seeing a lot of that too. So, and you right away landed on the fact that the hormones, especially with people with already predisposed low estrogen, low testosterone, those are some of the factors that we're seeing as well, along with people with low zinc and vitamin D. We're also seeing that. And a lot of people, when their immune system is hit by COVID or the vaccine, the spike proteins, basically, we're seeing a downregulation of some of our memory cells within the immune system. And so Epstein-Barr virus can be reactivated, and we're even seeing cytomegalovirus, and there's research with and there's just weird neurological stuff. CMV, that virus just does, it can be really challenging. So what are some of the things that people, just so they can identify, because a lot of people kind of dismiss it. They're like, oh, I haven't been quite the same since COVID. Mm-hmm. What are some of the other symptoms that people might be experiencing if they've had the vaccine or long haul COVID that might be able to identify that, okay, this is the problem and I need to speak with Rochelle Stat.
You know, I always tell people to write down a timeline. A timeline of just your general health. So when I had COVID, symptoms when they started, when I got a vaccine, and then just start to look at the progression of your health. Because we need to count that vaccine or that COVID hit as a part of your differential diagnosis. So of all the things that it could be, is it COVID? Was it a COVID infection or was it the vaccine? We need to consider it. And I think that's the first step, because most people don't even put that into the equation. And that was what was so frustrating to me when I was working in hospitalist medicine, because I would actually keep a personal list like this on a piece of white paper, simple, just charting myself, nowhere in the database. And I would write down everyone who came into my, precinct, if they'd had the vaccine or not. And I would just start to keep count of certain things that manifested within their journey during that time. Yeah. And then I would start to, you know, see some patterns of association. So to your question of what are the things that we see post-injection or infection, more so on the injection side now that I'm going to talk about. That brain fatigue and that brain fog, I can't find my words. Huge. You know, people honestly having strokes within a few months, even a few days. I had a lady recently got the newest booster, 8 days later had a stroke has an underlying clotting disorder that was provoked by that booster. So, you know, strokes, heart attacks. I've seen aortic dissections after multiple boosters in a young 40-year-old male who had no risk factors, not even family genetic history. So anything that was just really like, where did that come from? Okay. I want you to insert into your thought process, did I get a vaccine? Was that related? Especially within the first few months. All right. We do know there's a 2-year tail risk. Dr. Peter McCullough talks about this quite prevalently. It was a Stanford study that took people who'd been vaccinated or not, and they took and eliminated anybody who had had an actual COVID infection on the control group, and anybody who had clotting disorders or who was on blood thinners, et cetera, and eliminated those. And then they matched them. The average age was about 52 years old in both groups, the control group and the persons who had been vaccinated. And they followed them for 2 years. And what they found was that the vaccinated persons, 2 weeks to 12 weeks post getting shot had a 1.19% hazard ratio, meaning they were three times more likely to have evidence of, they found retinal vein and artery clots in them. Wow. And then 2 years out, they had a, still had a 2%, it was 2.19% hazard ratio, meaning they're still twice as likely to have evidence of continued clots from different from the control group. The control group, you know, the unvaccinated did not have that. So you really have to, when we insert into the premise or the thought, okay, I had a vaccine, what is that doing long-term? This study gives us evidence that it does have some long-term potential effects. And so if you have symptoms like brain fog, fatigue, numbness and tingling of your fingers, swelling of your legs, shortness of breath, you know, loss of taste and smell still, or some really weird event that just all of a sudden came out of nowhere that happened, like the stroke, I need people to start considering that they are have possibly an underlying problem due to a COVID condition. More so on the vaccination side than long-haul COVID. We don't see people, I don't see people who had long-haul COVID, you know, 2 years later have a stroke that was because of the COVID infection they had. That's more information genetically modified that I think, you know, brings things into problem. But those are some of the most common things that I see here. Tinnitus, that is a hard one to mitigate, but I have had that quite routinely for people. You know, just some really weird stuff out there. And then cancer. And you know, that's a longer discussion, but the most common cancers that we've seen post-shot, I will say, or injection, have been melanoma, lymphomas, breast cancer, colon cancer, and brain. Yeah. And especially if you have a history of cancer and then you have been in remission and then all of a sudden it came out of nowhere again, that's very suspicious behavior. And we are seeing quite a bit of that, unfortunately.
So are we. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of my longtime patients who was in remission from cancer passed away just weeks after getting her shot. And
I'm so sorry.
Spoke to her about it and she hemmed and hawed and I gave her my 2 cents and it came back with a vengeance. And so now we're seeing a lot of information on turbo cancers. And even last night I was with some family and they just brought up that one of the other family members, brothers basically was just diagnosed at the age of 30 with cancer and thinking colon cancer. And we just lost an in-law up in within the family too, very young, to the same cancer. And so we're seeing a lot of that. And so it's pervasive. And to your point, one of my biggest pet peeves is the fact that the doctors aren't even asking about the vaccination status. And this is this is something that I want people to understand because you were documenting that, which is why we're talking, to be quite frank, because the truth will always hold up to scrutiny, but we must scrutinize it. And so as soon as I'm hearing anything, it has to go through my filter of how many times you've had COVID, have you, did you get the COVID vaccine? And then I go through all the things I used to ask pre-2020. And that becomes my vetting list. So basically nailed it. But the problem is the majority of doctors aren't doing that.
No, that's correct. And we should have a podcast someday about, you know, the cancer, why cancer is coming up. So there's so many reasons. It's a very fascinating subject to help people understand. So it's not just, oh, it's the shot. You know, it's not just an accusation that people can actually understand exactly why it's happening. I think that'd be fascinating. I've been keeping
Yeah, that'd be great. We will definitely do that. We'll have you back. Yeah. One of the first conversations, Dr. Josh Wallert and I, there was a study that came out very early on, and they went through kind of their hypothesis of how the mRNA vaccines would work. And I remember reading something within that study where they talked about how the delivery system, it was engineered in Canada, and the delivery system to get the RNA into the cell, there's a component of it that down-regulate the toll-like receptors.
Right.
And I stopped there and I said, down-regulating toll-like receptors, you mean the parts of our intracellular mechanisms that help protect the DNA, you're going to say stop.
Right.
for how long? How many people will that not turn back on? And absolutely. So, and I looked for that. There was no answers to that. Mm-hmm. So that one statement mm-hmm. gave me pause saying, mm-hmm. okay, that is a huge assumption that you're going to turn down a part of your cellular system that protects your DNA.
Right.
And assume it's going to turn back on.
Right, right. Yes. And you've modified that RNA. So for what listeners need to know, you know, DNA and RNA, without getting into the weeds, have base pairs that comprise their system. So DNA is A, T, G, C, they're building blocks in certain sequences, you know, sequences. RNA is basically the same sequence, except there's a U. It's U, A, G, C. That U is what makes it RNA, and that's the uridine component. They make it pseudo uridine, false uridine, by methylating it and putting a little methyl group on it so that it's stabilized. So to your credit, you're saying that you're downregulating, the way you're delivering this is going to downregulate my immune system. But then the piece that I'm giving you into your immune system is something that has been modified to be stabilized and long lasting. So if I'm weakening, if I'm telling the fort to go to, you know, half defense, and now I'm slipping in an invader that I've just supercharged, you know, hello, yeah. we're really letting somebody invade my own system.
It's a Trojan horse.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so just from that premise alone, we should have questions. And to what you're saying, honestly, what we're talking about here is we're acknowledging the scientific method. This is the way we should be talking. These are the conversations we should be having. We should have the freedom to have too, to challenge the science, because the goal is to do no harm. And the goal is to protect the immune system, or excuse me, not just the immune system, but our wellness and health. Yeah. So, you know, these are questions that the public should be able to ask, that clinicians should be able to ask, that scientists should be continuing to ask, so that we make sure we, you know, support the population and not do harm.
I agree 100%.
Yeah.
So we're definitely going to do a full show on that, because there's so much more.
Without getting into the weeds. Yeah. I know. We can talk all day, I'm sure.
Yes. I know a lot of our patients love a lot of the details as far as the specifics too. So let's move into a little bit of the hormone conversation, because I'm just going to speak like model-wise here. Our hormones are very, very influenced, very much influenced by many factors. When you have inflammation, hormones are involved with the anti-inflammatory mechanism. When you have stress, hormones are involved. Our sex hormones are potentially changed by all these other factors. Right. And so just restoring and reestablishing just some baseline hormone function helps with communication. Our hormone system is another form of communication. We've got neurologic communication. We've got vascular communication. We've got these hormone communications. And in one of my favorite, I was trained by Dr. Dale Bredesen, who wrote the book, The End of Alzheimer's, an Alzheimer's researcher. One of the classifications of the six types of Alzheimer's dementia that can be helped is atrophic change, which just means a pretty significant hormone change and trigger a mechanism of early onset dementia. And so catching that early is very, very important. So we've worked a lot within that, but we've been waiting for Rochelle to be able to work with, because she's got this knowledge base around how she has worked with hormones that is a perfect fit and blend for what many of you have listened to this podcast, heard us talk about when it comes to memory, stress, all those factors. So just speak to how you've been using hormones in your practice and what you're what you're currently seeing.
Yeah, you know, the physician that I've worked with in my practice, his analogy, and I love it, and the way he says it, so I'm going to, you know, steal it, and he can copyright it and patent it. But he says hormones are like water to a garden. You know, they really, truly are the fountain of youth, the fountain of life. They're so involved with our genetic expressions, and they have a very rhythmic rise and fall. They have a very specific and poignant intent in our bodies. And so the way that we like to do hormonal restoration or balancing is to copy that natural rhythmic design. So when we talk about females, you have a 28-day cycle that's been established, you know, sometimes 30, 32, 35, depending on who you are. But you know, your estrogen peaks and it falls, excuse me, and then it peaks a little bit again, and then it falls fully. Your progesterone builds over about 22 days. It peaks around then, and then it goes back down. What that combination is doing is it's prepping your endometrial lining for fertility and pregnancy, because around that estrogen peak, you're releasing an egg. And in the background of all of that, your testosterone is doing just a little bit of a bell curve hump over those 30 days. It really revs up in the middle around day 13 to 15 of your cycle, because it wants to give you a little bit more of a libido. So if you do release the egg, you have the function to get pregnant at that time. And then it filters off. And so we believe in that natural design. And so we try to bring our hormones back into that rhythm and that balance for people that are struggling with issues or are just trying to mitigate the symptoms of what we call perimenopause, postmenopausal states. On the male side, we also stick to and like to adhere to the natural rhythm because we like to bring up the base of total testosterone if we know that it's deficient and there's kind of little fumes in the car. But then we also like to do a daily replenishment because we, again, know that testosterone naturally peaks in the morning and then it kind of falls down through the day as you're using and burning it up for your activities of daily living. So hormones are essential. They're functional. They are crucial to the backbone of who we are. But we need to provide them in a way that your body was, from birth, established to utilize. And that's why we stay away from some of the other, like pellet type therapies, because they give you a static dose and a load, and then it just kind of filters off over time. We believe in the natural design and replication and adhering to what our creator created us to be. And so we try and restore hormones in that way for people, either that have symptoms like, heavy bleeding, clotting, menstruation issues, infertility on, the younger end. Two, on the older end, you're going through menopause and the hot flashes are just unbearable. And, you're losing a little bit of your, vaginal atrophy is happening, things of that nature. Or for males, you're not bouncing back enough after you work out. You're not building lean muscle mass anymore. You have some erectile dysfunction, things of those nature. We try and help people back to their wellness. We don't try and make you 20 years old again, but we try and make you as good as new, if we could say that.
Yeah. Love it.
Put the fuel back in the tank. So, yeah.
So, just to wrap up here, I know you've got a set established, program, if you will, when it comes long haul and these things. So maybe walk through just what that looks like. Is it a couple weeks? Is it a couple months? Mm-hmm. What do people who have maybe have long haul or vaccine injury or hormone questions, what does that look like?
And
then we can kind of talk to people about how to get help.
Yeah, thank you. So on the COVID end, whether injection or infection, we have two kind of variety of offerings right now. What we do, one is just an appointment where you and I talk and we go through that timeline of your history and we try and piece together, is this related or not? We don't do any therapies. We just literally have a conversation. We might order some blood work to kind of assess your situation. On the other side of that, we have with the program that you're talking about, where we do some blood work. We look for the most common things that can go awry in your system known now, retrospectively, post-injection or infection. And we'll sit down and we'll meet. And it's a 90-day program where we meet about every 30 days. And we kind of diagnose what's gone on, what's related to your symptoms, and how do we either prevent things from progressing or how do we regress them if they're already started. And so we use a lot of nutraceuticals, repurposed pharmaceutical drugs like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, nutraceuticals like natokinase, resveratrol. And we use peptide therapies, like oxytocin, nasal sprays to help people restore taste and smell. And so that's really a 3-month journey because we find that it takes some time for people to see the effects come into place. But honestly, 90 days is pretty quick compared to a lot of people who have been shuffled around the medical system for 2 years and never found an answer. And usually in that 90 days, we know if we're on the right track or not. Actually, it usually only takes the first 30, to be honest. And so that's our program in the sense of COVID rescue and restore is kind of what we call it. On the hormone side, we do an initial blood work panel just to give you a, hey, spot check, here's where we are. And we look at more hormones besides just the testosterone, progesterone, and estrogen. That's what's common. That's what people know. But those are really the kids of the family. Upstream, there's parents and there's grandparents. And so we look into those too, because we need all hands on deck when it comes to hormonal function. So we look at that. We'll look at your thyroid. We have a conversation with you. We determine whether or not hormones are a good fit for you and in what way, because we can do creams, we can do different injections, and sometimes we can do just supplemental pills or different, supplemental creams without even dabbling into the hormones just yet. And then we go from there and journey on with you based on what recommendations are needed and received. So,
Yeah, love it. Yeah. If you haven't gathered, Rochelle is very intelligent, very organized, and on top of, which is very hard these days, on top of the current state of affairs when it comes to what's relevant in healthcare. And so that is the biggest message I had with my team as we were talking early on. We have to become the best at collecting the data of what's happening right now. True. We know how to assess the body, meaning when it's not communicating properly, there's some dysfunction. We know how to measure that dysfunction, but we need to know what to do. So that's why I've been looking for someone like Rochelle to kind of fill that gap in that space, because we've been treating a lot of people in the last 3 years. We do, like, people know they come from all over the United States or all different countries. But you're filling a very, very important need here at Synapse. So I want to thank you as far as our collaboration that way. And for people who are interested, you have family members or yourself, go to our website, officialsynapse.com, S-Y-N-A-P-S-E.com, and sign up for a free discovery call, and we will onboard you. Mention this podcast and Rochelle by name so that we can get you set up with Rochelle so she can assess and kind of move forward with this. So I want to thank you for your time, Rochelle. I look forward to future collaboration. I look forward to improved patient outcomes.
Yes.
All of it. So I just thank you for your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you. And you know what, everybody, there is hope. And that's the biggest message of all. Okay. There is so much hope out there. What Dr. Spurrell's team is doing is fabulous. The research they have going, their continued dissatisfaction with no answer is not an answer. We have answers. And so, and even if we don't collaboratively, we'll know who does, and we will guarantee to try and push you into the direction of where you can get your wellness and health back. So
that's a good point. When I first started working with patients, I never guaranteed that I would have a successful outcome, but I guaranteed they'd never find someone who would work harder for them to find successful outcome.
Yes, that too. And I agree with that. And I can commit to that as well.
Yeah. And there's people, there's so many things we're not sharing with you yet about 2024 that's coming. And so just know there's a lot of good people working behind the scenes to just help everyone. And I will make this declaration. We are going to have a new healthcare system model by time this all shakes out. So stay tuned. We're at the tip of the spear when it comes to this stuff, and I can't wait. So thanks, Rochelle.
Looking forward
to our next podcast and what the future holds.
Sounds good. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Synapse Nips podcast. If you like what you heard, subscribe to the podcast and share the podcast. To learn more, check out our website at www.officialsynapse.com. Until next time, this has been Synapse Nips Podcast. We'll see you on the next episode. This podcast is for information purposes only and should under no circumstances be considered medical advice or a substitute for medical care. Any information given in this podcast is not intended to diagnose or treat any disease and is at the user's own risk. Please first consult a licensed healthcare professional.